Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Since taking office in 2002, Mayor Michael Bloomberg has made education one of his top priorities. He persuaded the state to give him control over the public schools. Bloomberg and his chancellor, Joel Klein, reorganized the entire management structure, and they introduced a more unified curriculum. When asked if it's working, Bloomberg and Klein both point to the city's high school graduation rate. At 58%, they say it's now the highest in a generation. Or is it? The state's education department says the figure is actually less because the city counts kids who don't get full diplomas or who transfer to high school equivalency programs. Whatever the number, everyone agrees too many city high school students are dropping out. Last fall, a study by the city's Department of Education found 138,000 students, or almost half the high school population, are overage and undercredited, and almost half of those kids had dropped out of school. Tomorrow, the New York City Council is hosting a dropout summit on the crisis where kids and community leaders will speak at Baruch College here in Manhattan. The summit brings together state, city officials, students, unions, and community leaders. Joining me now are two students who plan to attend the summit, Malaika De Jesus and Elizabeth De Jesus, not related, along with City Councilman Robert Jackson. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having us.
Councilman, I want to start with you. You're head of the council's education committee, and I don't recall ever seeing a dropout summit like this before. Why are you doing it now?
Well, I think that it's extremely important, and not only that, but the group that we are co-convening this dropout summit with, Directions for Our Youth, approached us, the Black, Latino, and Asian caucus of the city council, which comprises of 25 members of the city council, and asked us to partner with them in putting together this dropout summit. And so, obviously, with the dropout rate in New York City so high, we could not say no.
Are you really feeling the pressure from your constituents to make this an issue? Because a poll from the Community Service Society found high school dropouts is, you know, the dropout rate, that is the number one concern for New Yorkers. Something like 23% ranked it as their top concern ahead of, you know, terrorism and housing even.
Well, I don't think that I'm receiving the phone calls in my office. But if you look at the Community Service Society's report, if you look at other agencies and departments and nonprofit groups, if you look at the number of children and youth that are seeking GED programs, if you just look at the stats that are being put forward by the Department of Education, you know it's a problem. And in fact, one of the things that was talked about in the introduction to your program is the graduation rate. If you ask the Department of Education, they will tell you the graduation rate is 58%. But if you ask the State Education Department, they will tell you it's 43%. Who do I believe? I believe the State Department of Education. But not only that, if that's the graduation rate, then what is the dropout rate? And no matter who you consider, 58 or 43, we collectively, and I not only point my finger at Mayor Bloomberg and Klein, but I point my finger at everyone, including myself as a legislator, we are failing our children. And we must get a handle on this in order to improve the graduation rate so our children have the opportunity for success in life.
Now, we should also mention that you were the lead plaintiff in the lawsuit that sought to get more state aid for the city schools, and that money will possibly be distributed this year now that there's a new governor, and the state's highest court said the city was owed billions of dollars, and the governor is proposing that in his budget. So, you know, you have been an advocate for this for a long time, and you're saying that you collectively take responsibility for this problem. So what is it that hasn't been done right?
Well, I one of the things that hasn't been done right is that we have not afforded our children the opportunity for what we, CFE, called a sound basic education, and which is the highest
CFE
court,
meaning the Campaign for Fiscal Equity,
yes,
the group that
lawsuit.
Brought the lawsuit.
Right, that's the lawsuit. But the highest court says it calls a sound basic education an adequate education. And I'm saying that for decades, the children of New York City have been denied the resources, the financial resources, to provide that sound basic education or adequate education. And that 13-year legal battle was confirmed by the lower court, confirmed by the appellate division, meaning the appeal from the lower court, and reconfirmed by the highest court. And that's why Governor Spitzer has put forward a financial plan of $5.4 billion in operating money over the next 4 years, and Governor Pataki signed into legislation the financing for $11.2 billion over 5 years for capital monies to build brand new schools and make major repairs. And so with reducing class size and building schools and having operating money to hire and recruit and retain qualified educators, counselors, and people, support people, then we will be providing our children with an adequate education.
Well, it sounds like
right now, in my opinion, New York City is not providing our children with an adequate education.
Okay, so it sounds like you know what the solutions are. So why are you having a summit? What are you hoping to hear tomorrow?
Well, I think is you have to constantly refocus about what you're doing and how you're doing it and how can we improve it. But now this summit is different. This summit is not being put forward by this New York State or New York City Department of Education. It's being put forward by Directions for Our Youth and the New York City Council Black Latino and Asian Caucus, along with other individuals that are involved in the community, like Baruch College is sponsoring us, giving us the space, the Community Service Society.
So who's going to be there? What are you hoping to hear?
Oh, my gosh. We're hoping to have people standing outside the door begging to get in. But with respect to who's going to be speaking, we're going to have remarks, obviously, from the president of Baruch College, who is giving us the space there. But the keynote address is by Jonathan Kozel and Congressman Charles Rangel. It's going to be discussing the National Dropout Prevention Act of 2007. We're going to have panel discussions on the role of the family, the role of the school, the role of the students and student governments, the role of the school district, and the role of community as far as education and helping to prevent dropout. And then also at 12 during lunch, we're going to have a dialogue with Deputy Mayor Dennis Walcott. And so we're hoping to come out with some suggestions on how to increase the graduation rate and, in essence, how to decrease the dropout rate.
Well, I've been to a number of conferences as an education reporter where you hear people say all of these things and say all these ideas, and it just, you know, what I wonder is, what is it that could come out of this that's new? Are you waiting for proposals from students? We have two of them here in our studio right now. Malaika and Elizabeth, I want to bring you both in. You're both high school students. Tell us a little bit about where you go to school. Elizabeth, why don't you start?
Well, I go to Bronx Leadership Academy. It's in the Bronx, and we're ranked like number 3 in the Bronx. And basically my school was a kind of school where you had to get in kind of not really by lottery, but by your grades in junior high school. And now with the No Child Left Behind program, I don't know if you have heard of it, everybody gets in. Like, I mean, if it's a certain circumstance, like that you're having in school or something like that, you could easily get into my school.
You mean transfer in?
Yeah.
Students who are going to schools that aren't doing very well on their test scores, and then they have the right to transfer into your school.
Yeah. And basically, I'm in a lot of programs at school. I'm one of the main students that, like, tries to get in everything. And, like, I was on the softball team. I was on the basketball team. And I do a lot of, like, extracurricular activities at school. Mm-hmm. And basically, after school, I go to DFOY, Directions for Youth. And
that's the organization that's helping to sponsor this conference tomorrow, right?
And I work for them now. And working for them for about 2 years, I've been an advocate, a youth advocate, I could say. And I've been to City Hall and, you know, met Mr. Jackson here. And, you know, it's been a pleasure, basically, to have, well, I know that I'm looked at as somebody who, I guess, the voice of the youth, basically. And, like, you know, I enjoy doing this and being on the radio and, you know, like, doing all this other stuff. But it's a lot of people that drop out of school. Like, still, even in my school, there's people that are struggling and are just ready to give up. And it's like, you have to have things like this that to, like, encourage people that, you know, there's somebody behind you. Like, dropping out is not going to do anything but increase the rate, you know, so...
So is that what you want to talk about tomorrow, what you're seeing in your school?
Yeah.
Okay. And how about you, Malaika? Where do you go to school?
I'm a junior at Manhattan Center for Science and Mathematics.
Which we should say is that gigantic school you see on the FDR Drive at 116th.
My old high school, Benjamin Franklin High School.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so I'm a junior, and I'm one of the panelists at tomorrow's Teen Summit.
And what are you going to talk about?
I'm going to be discussing the role of the teachers, how they play in the students' lives of preventing them to drop out, or maybe being that thing that make them drop out.
Encouraging them.
Yeah, it's a whole range of ideas.
Okay, well, I want to get to those ideas in a moment. I'm Beth Furtick sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and you're listening to WNYC at 93.9 FM and AM 820 and WNYC.org. We're talking about the high school dropout crisis. There's going to be a summit on the issue tomorrow with a lot of youth leaders from across the city and politicians. And you can call in with your thoughts on the matter at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. I said earlier that I've been to a lot of these education conferences where people say lots of nice things and talk about the solutions. And you guys are both still young. You haven't gotten a chance to become cynical yet, I would hope. So
I hope not.
Yeah, the councilman is certainly never wants to become cynical. So what is it that you, Malaika and Elizabeth, want to tell leaders like Councilman Jackson that is going to make them really listen this time and do something about the dropout rate?
Well, first, I want to inform them that our youth are the people that are going to be running this country in the future. So it's important for us to educate them, because we don't want leaders that aren't that intelligent when we grow up.
Right.
You know, the youth has control of what's going to happen later on.
And what do you see happening? Why do you think so many kids are dropping out? I don't know if your school is a very good school. So do you know kids in your community, friends that you grew up with who didn't make it to high school or stopped going?
Well, yeah, I know some students from my junior high school that, you know, went into high school and didn't finish, maybe because of their community, what they see in their community. Some teachers, they told me, weren't supportive, and they felt like, you know, if I'm not going good in school now, maybe school's not for me. Being encouraged by your family members, being encouraged by your community members, being encouraged by your teachers is a strong help to keep you in school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that support system is needed, because when you're learning things, and sometimes you might have difficulties, if you don't have somebody helping you, then you might not feel pushed to finish. You might not feel like it's a requirement to finish if you see that, you know, you have a job to go to, or, you know, maybe you need the money before, and you're not seeing that education is lining you up for that.
Elizabeth, do you think it's just about this short-term feeling like you're not getting enough out of it that leads kids to drop out? Or from what you've seen with classmates or former classmates, do you think that there's something else that's more attractive to them than school that leads them to leave?
I think it's basically the community you live in. Like, I mean, you know, you're not supposed to, I mean, follow what other people do. You're supposed to be your own person at times. But sometimes some kids don't have the alternative to turn, like, to after school programs and look forward to going to work after school. Some kids look to, like, the hood, as you will say, like the area where they live. So whatever they see in the hood, basically, that's what they're gonna do. So it's like around my area, it's a lot of teen
mothers. About where you live.
Well, I live in the South Bronx, and it's a lot of teen mothers, like, and they have no choice but to stop going to school because they have to watch their babies and stuff. But I think that the only reason, you know, I'm not, I guess, one of those teen mothers, like, I'm not downgrading them or anything, but was because of DFOY and basically the after school program. Yeah.
Okay.
The after school programs around my area and the support I have in the after school program. And basically, I think we just need more teen programs and more support for the teens out there, like different programs and more job opportunities, because it's not easy to get a job out here when you're young. It's like you have to be 18 or older, or like sometimes they don't want to hire you because they think, oh no, this is still a baby, like they're still a child, mm-hmm. or whatever, so they don't want to hire you. But you know, it's just we need more programs, basically.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to that in a moment after this quick break. I'm Beth Furtick sitting in for Brian Lehrer. I'm Beth Fertig, sitting in for Brian Lehr, and we're talking about the high school dropout crisis. There's going to be a summit tomorrow at Baruch College that the city council and other youth organizations are sponsoring. We have a couple of students in our studio right now who are going to be there tomorrow, and City Councilman Robert Jackson is on the phone. And we've opened the phone lines to calls from listeners. If you want to comment on this, if you're a high school dropout, if you know high school dropouts, if you work in the schools and have experiences to share, please give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Eric from Inwood, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm well. I am a high school dropout, and I also just graduated from Columbia University School of General Studies.
Wow, how'd you do that?
A lot of hard work. But I really didn't call to talk about being a dropout. I wanted to call about a problem that I see in the educational system overall, which I think led to my dropping out. And that's the fact that at the turn of the last century, the educational system was reformed in this country to model the more German-type system, which was specifically to make a more malleable workforce. Mm-hmm. So when I hear people say education system isn't working, it is working. It's keeping people in their place. It's keeping people stupid the way it was designed to do.
Well, it was designed to produce future workers,
which need to be kept in their place, no?
Well, that's your view of it, but, you know, ideally, public education was created to educate the public, and the jobs at the time, at the turn of the century, were more industrial. And one thing that a lot of people say right now is that old model doesn't really fit with the types of jobs that we have today, the new jobs, because those manufacturing jobs have largely dried up. Thank you for your call, though.
But we've gone from dirt farmers reading Thoreau in their back pocket while they're plowing the field to high school students not even knowing who Thoreau is.
Right. Right. And so, Councilman Jackson, talk a little bit about for us what is going on with the kids. What do we know about them? Because they do fit a profile. I was reading a study by the Department of Education this past fall that said the kids who are dropping out, they're basically what we call overage and undercredited. They have fewer than 11 credits by the time they're in high school. You need 44 to graduate. Compared to the overall population, they're also much more likely to be male and African-American or Hispanic. Mm-hmm. So why is that the case, Councilman? What do you hear?
Well, I think it's the case because, as I indicated, as part of the reason why CFE, the Campaign for Fiscal Equity Lawsuit, was filed, because as a system, we were not providing our children the type of education in the lower grades that we should have. And now, you know, City Council Speaker Christine Quinn and even Governor Spitzer is talking about mandatory pre-K for all four-year-olds. So that's important in order to give our children the foundation for success. And what's happening is that those high school students that are overage and undercredited did not have the foundation for success in those early years. And as a result of that, they've been passed on, and or they're in the 10th grade, but their reading level may be at the 4th or 5th grade. And what's happening is that they get frustrated, they see they're not progressing like they should, and they wind up dropping out.
We have a teacher who's called in, Jackson from Brooklyn. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning.
Hi. What do you teach?
I'm an art teacher.
In what type of school?
Middle school.
A public in New York City.
In the South Bronx. And actually, I called in to ask a question of one of your young panelists in mentioning that, you know, most kids, you know, do extracurricular activities after school in their neighborhoods. What role do you see gangs playing in, you know, the dropout rate with high school students? I see, you know, gang activity in, you know, in middle school. What role do you see gangs playing in, you know, how kids are, you know,
things that are luring them away from school?
Exactly. How they're being lured away from school, and how it's influencing their, you know, how they socialize.
Oh, great question.
That is a good question. Very good question.
Malaika, you look ready with an answer.
Yeah, actually, I think gangs do, they do have a role in a student's life if the gangs live in their community. And that's where I think the role of the community is important in a student's life. I feel as if the community comes together and tries to eliminate a lot of the gangs that's happening in that place, then it wouldn't have that much influence over the person's life. If your community is so for, oh, education is important, let's get them to school. You know, we have these after-school programs that they'll go to after school, and you're keeping the student so busy that they can't even notice that the gangs are taking place. They don't notice or they don't feel like that's important. They see that that's dangerous. They see that it's nothing fun about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's the role of the community to
give them alternatives.
To give them alternatives. Also, for them to be aware that gangs are nothing positive for them. It's going to be something negative.
I wanted to ask you, we've heard recently that the crime rate is going up in schools. And I don't know if this is connected to the gangs or if it's connected to, you know, kids stealing iPods or things like that. But there's been a lot more of a police presence in the public schools, roving metal detectors that are brought to schools on a random basis. Do you guys think that this stuff is working? Is crime a big issue that needs to be cracked down on? And is a police presence doing anything to you know, stop that problem and encourage kids to stay in school?
Well, at my school, we don't have metal detectors. Like, we're a small school, and we're, like, right near the Cross Bronx and stuff, and you know, it's a lot of crime going on around the area, up the block and stuff, but we don't have metal detectors. And yeah, you see, you know, people may have weapons. I really don't know. But, I mean, crime is going to happen wherever, whether it's here, whether it's downtown. Like, you know, so if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But for us to prevent it, the only way we could prevent it is by encouraging the kids to go to these after schools and mm-hmm. attend
so
these.
So you don't think police are needed?
I mean, police are always needed. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, police do their jobs and they try to do their jobs, but sometimes it's like they're there just to be there. And sometimes the kids feel pressured by the police as to where they see a African-American guy or an African-American girl standing around and they're quick to question them. I mean, they could just be standing around waiting for somebody but it's like automatically off the top of their head, I'm not saying they really discriminate, but, you know, it's their job. They say it's their job to question them. I mean, as to why you're in the corner, why you're standing so long, I don't blame them for questioning them, but sometimes kids feel pressured, and that's what makes them want to do stuff, and that's what makes them want to commit crime. And why are you asking me these questions? They're probably thinking in their head, like, I'm just standing around waiting for my mother probably, and they don't even know, but mm-hmm. they're quick to question and assume, oh, this person is doing wrong in the corners.
We have a high school teacher in Manhattan from Elizabeth, New Jersey, calling. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Tell me a little bit about what you see in your school. I don't know if you want to identify it.
Well, I'd rather not because we're a great school. We're still one of the large schools in Manhattan, and I'll get off because this is a great program. I think this is great. You have the kids out there. But the big problem, I see a problem with the parents. Not that the parents are the problem, but since the school system went to a mayoral agency 2 or 3 years ago with the previous contract, I see less. I've been in the city school system 8 years. I see less and less involvement or contact with the parents. I think that the mayor, any politician, whoever it is, this is not a personal criticism, that when it becomes political like that, they're afraid to tell the parents what they need to hear, like, tomorrow we need more homework done or things like that. You know what I'm saying? It becomes a political issue. They're not parents anymore. They're voters. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big issue. I think that's a factor anyway. And that's all I have.
Thank
to
you. Councilman, parent engagement is certainly a big issue.
I do think that under Mayor Bloomberg's administration, with respects to him having mayoral control, parents overall have been basically pushed to the side and not included as full partners in education. And I say that because that has been said by Tim Johnson. Tim Johnson is the president of CPAC. CPAC is the Chancellor's Parent Advisory Council. And CPAC is made up of all of the local presidents of the various PAs and PTAs, Parents Associations. Mm-hmm. And so the DOE is not even in sync with CPAC. And so you have to be in sync with the parents. And the thing is, if you were listening earlier, I said I don't only point my fingers at Bloomberg and Klein, but even point to myself and everyone collectively. And I do think that parents and students have obligations to make sure that students overall are successful. And so as a parent, my kids are all graduated from the public school system now. You know, I say that everyone is responsible, even parents, to ensure that their children are doing things and that they're involved in their kids' school. That's all important. So I'm the first one to say that from a holistic point of view, parents and students have to be engaged also in their educational process.
And there has been a real debate, especially with the change in the bus routes, about how involved parents have been. And the mayor has said that, you know, parent coordinators at every school should be helping, and that he's offering a new CEO of parent engagement this fall. But let's talk about some of the other ways in which the city is trying to combat the dropout problem. And you, Elizabeth, you go to one of the small schools. Mm-hmm. They've opened about 200 small new schools in the past few years, which mm-hmm. are said to have much higher attendance and graduation rates. Do you think those are the solutions? And, you know, you, Malaika, you go to a big school. So what do you think is more attractive for kids who may be at risk of falling out?
I mean, well, with me, I like the smaller school because you get more attention from the teachers. There's fewer students in the class, and you get a one-on-one, you know, you have a one-on-one relationship with the teachers. As for bigger schools, I really don't know because I don't go to a big school, but it's more competition. There's more students in the class. Like, there's more, I guess there's probably more resources because they're a bigger school, but then again, as us being, well, me being in a smaller school, there's a lot of resources, and you get yourself out there.
Malaika, do you think kids get less attention in your school?
I don't believe so, but that's because I feel like my school is a great school, and we have a lot of resources. And it's if the student wants the resources and the resources are promoted, then I feel like you get it. For the small schools, I know for people that are, you know, drop out, like if they're thinking about dropping out, I would recommend a smaller school because you're noticed more. The teachers are on you more. It's not easily where, you know, you could slip and, you know, teachers are not aware of it.
There's also the mayor's opening these multiple pathway programs, transfer mm-hmm. schools for kids mm-hmm. who are getting older and haven't earned enough credits. Do you know anyone who's gone to those? Do you think they work?
I believe the alternative and the pathway schools do work, but then I also think that it encourages students not to try in high school.
I think it's like an alternative. Like, if you don't do good in high school, then, oh, yeah, they know in their heads, I'm going to this pathway, you know, mm-hmm. program, and I don't have to do anything in high school because I'm going to take the easy way out. Actually, those programs are even harder than regular high school. You have to accumulate 4 years of work in the little bit of months they give you, or maybe in that 1 year that they you know, that the pathway program is running. And it's like sometimes in high school, when they were talking about the parent support, it's like sometimes in high once you get in high school, you basically halfway independent. And it's like you get notices and stuff, and, oh, your child is not doing good. It's like some high school kids keep that from their parents. So it's like sometimes the parent doesn't really have control of, you know, what's going on in the child's life because, oh, did you get your – some parents don't even ask, do you get your report card? Like, some parents
well,
just –
well, then they should be a little bit more involved.
Yeah. I mean, it's like mm-hmm, it's like the kids basically are independent once you get into high school because you uh-huh. could keep stuff from your parents. You don't have to tell your parents, oh, yeah, I'm not doing good in this class. My teacher gave me a letter today. They told me to give it – it's like the kid is thinking in their head, my teacher gave me a letter today. I'm not going to give it to my parent. I'm not going to show it to my parent. But it's like the parent wouldn't know because there's no parent involvement. You get what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's why I think that parents need to be involved. Yeah. And that's why the relationship as far as the parents' associations and the administration needs to be much tighter than it is. And because clearly, you know, when my kids were in school, I was not only involved in elementary and intermediate school, but when my kids went to high school, I was involved with the high school parents' association. Mm-hmm. And I think that now, when most parents are working, okay, you have technology where, you know, emails can be, teachers can send parents emails yeah. and what have you and so forth, and we have to use the equipment that we have. But I do think with talking about smaller schools versus larger schools, there's positive and negatives of both.
Yes.
But clearly, one of the things that one of the students talked about is smaller schools bring about smaller classes.
Yeah, they do.
Well, we want to be able to have the same type of small classes that everyone else has in the large schools. Large schools should not be the dumping grounds for the tens of thousands of students that are not in small schools. As far as staffing and resources, you need to put the same level that you put into the smaller schools. And, you know, there's a group called Class Size Matters in New York City, and they're only pushing for one thing, that New York City have the same type of class size as the rest of the state, which is about 20 students in a class. And right now we're way above that. And quite frankly, with a budget of $57 billion, the New York City budget, with a $4 billion surplus, with CSS report saying that the number one issue and concern is high school dropout and graduation, we as a system, as a society, as a government, need to invest more in education
okay.
and preventing dropout.
We're going to wrap up in a couple minutes, so I just want to hear from the students.
Go ahead.
Each of you, give me two solutions that you think are going to work. Do you think it's an issue of money and you need to make all the classes smaller, or do you think something else is needed to lower the dropout rate?
I think both. I think money is needed to make the class sizes smaller, and I need a support system. I think a support system needs to be built between more parent involvement, more community involvement, being self-esteem with the student, and also with the teachers, the role of the teachers. I think those things are needed for a student to feel like they're able to finish high school, and even encourage them to go to college.
Do the students encourage each other? Like, if you see a kid who's falling behind, do you feel like it's your job to maybe help them out?
Me, as a person, I feel like it's my job. That's why, you know, I'm open to doing all these programs, because I feel like our lives matter in the future.
Okay, Elizabeth, what about you? Give me two solutions.
I mean, it also has to do with self-encouragement, encouraging yourself and letting yourself know that, yes, I can do this, and yes, I'm going to do this, and when I do this, it's going to be okay, and like, you know, you're going to be praised after you succeed. And also with the parents and community and stuff, like, you have to know that somebody's out there supporting you and somebody's behind you 110%. So it's like, you know, push for yourself and then look for support from somebody else. It's positive support. Don't ever try to give yourself negative support, as where you have to turn to gangs. And
so what do you see in your, what do you need in your school?
At my school, basically, I have all the support I need. I mean, just more resources, basically. Probably because we're a smaller school, but we still need more resources.
Okay, so more resources, more support. We hear a lot of these things. I'm looking forward to hearing solutions tomorrow when you have your summit. Thank you so much, Councilman Robert Jackson, head of the City Council's Education Committee, and to our students, Malaika DeJesus and Elizabeth DeJesus. Thank you so much for joining
us,
and good luck at your conference tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.